So much economic news this week. An $850 billion stimulus package proposed by President-elect Obama and congressional Democrats. More details about how the Securities and Exchange Commission failed to investigate a massive fraud. We're joined now by David Leonhardt, economics columnist for The New York Times. David, thanks so much for being with us again.
Absolutely. Good morning.
$850 billion stimulus package, of course, is a huge chunk of money. It exceeds even the financial rescue plan of a few weeks ago. What effect does the incoming administration hope it has? And is history on their side to think a stimulus package will, in fact, strengthen the economy?
In some ways, the history very much is on their side. I mean, there is pretty clear evidence from the Depression in this country, from Japan earlier in the last couple decades, that when governments set out to spend a lot of money, they can make a difference. And this is a huge amount of money. A good way to think about it is that it is roughly 3% of gross domestic product a year for 2 years. In a typical recession, the economy essentially doesn't grow at all, whereas in a usual year, it grows about 3%. So they're essentially trying to make up the whole difference between a usual year and a usual recession. Of course, this is not a usual recession.
I want to ask you, though, if I mean, there are people who are concerned that this is going to be a bunch of make-work projects.
Yep. And the funny thing about stimulus is that make-work can actually work as stimulus. I mean, if we were to blow up a building and rebuild it, even if we rebuilt it slightly worse than it had been, that could work as stimulus. You would employ people to blow it up. You would employ people to reconstruct it. And so as long as it happened quickly, that could be stimulus.
Yeah, obviously. but if you can't get anyone to live in the building, then it's an economic loss.
That's right. Long term, it's a loss. And so there are two key things here. One, you want to make sure that your stimulus happens quickly. That's in the past has been a problem with some stimulus programs. They've taken too long to get into the pipeline. And two, you want to make sure that you're not just blowing up buildings and reconstructing them. You want to make sure that you're actually building roads that might reduce traffic, or you want to make sure that you're weatherizing homes in ways that reduce carbon emissions. And so those are the two central challenges. Do it quickly and make sure that it actually does some long-term good as well.
This week, the SEC's chairman criticized his staff for what he called apparent multiple failures in failing to uncover the alleged $50 billion fraud scheme by Bernard Madoff in New York. Let me ask the question I expect a lot of Americans have been asking this week. What is the Securities and Exchange Commission in business for, if not to catch something like this?
Well, that's exactly right. That's what they should be in business for. And we don't know all the details yet. We don't know how much of this was because of a personal relationship between someone in the SEC and someone at Madoff's company. But I think we do know that this is entirely consistent with a culture of non-regulation that we've had here in Washington now for quite some time. And I say non-regulation, not deregulation, because this wasn't an issue in which there was a new law passed that let Madoff do what he did. All the laws we needed were on the books. And the problem is that the people at the SEC didn't execute those laws. And again, we don't know the details, but it's really hard not to connect this to this fact that over the last, not just decade, but even longer than that, I think people who have been in Washington and been regulators, if anything, have feared over-regulating. The message they've gotten from their bosses is there are great dangers in over-regulation. And there are dangers in over-regulation. But we're now seeing that there are great dangers in under-regulation, too. And those dangers have not been sufficiently appreciated.
New York Times economics columnist David Leonhardt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.